Morning, y'all. Welcome to this Thursday edition of the Gospel Way radio broadcast. We trust that you'll stay tuned now for the next 15 minutes as we bring you a portion of the infallible and inerrant Word of God. We're so thankful for each and every one of you that listen every day so faithfully to this radio broadcast. We trust you're going to tell others about the Gospel Way. We're on right here on this same station at this same time every day, Monday through Friday, for 15 minutes. And we do not take it lightly that you allow us to come into your home, your place of business, your automobile, wherever it is that you choose to listen, and that you get your day started off with the Gospel Way. And we trust it's a blessing and help to you. We've been looking this week out of the book of Genesis, chapter number 1. At Genesis 1, on 6 different times, each creation day, God said in the evening, in the morning, evening in the morning is the first day, evening in the morning, the second day, so on and so forth. And we've been looking at how that God counts a day from evening until morning, instead of counting it like we would from morning until evening. And so when we're going to sleep, going to bed, God's just getting started in the evening time. And so we've been preaching on some things. We've been sharing a radio broadcast message that we preached at the church a few weeks ago, and preaching on some things that God does in the night. And so far we've seen that what God began in the night of the Old Testament, He finished in the morning of the New Testament. And then we left off yesterday on the radio broadcast with the thought of what God began in the evening of our Savior's suffering, He ended in the morning of the resurrection. And so we want to pick up with that thought this morning on the radio broadcast, get right into it today. We trust that the portion of the message will be a blessing to you today as you listen.
Everything was all right. He had come out of the yet and can remember and recall the darkness of your life when you were lost. That's the only way I don't explain my lost life was dark. It's just dark. I didn't have any light. Just dark. Oh, and shame over sin. You say there's no shame over sin anymore. And that's true in a lot of ways. I was talking to a preacher the other day, and he said he goes to a lot of racetracks and preaches. He's done it for about 50 years. He said 50 years ago when he'd go to the racetrack and preach, Brother Rick said they'd gather up and listen to him preach, and some of them would get saved, and they'd cry, and they'd come pat him on the back and thank him for being there. He said about 20 years ago, things changed. He said it got to where there's more people cussing him than was saying amen. He said they'd come cussing his face, throw things at him, say things to him. My friend Degradation, all just hurling accusations at him while he preached. He said, I just kept preaching. He said, let me tell you what's more concerning to me than that. He said, I go down to the racetrack and preach. And he said, they just walk by me like they're not even listening. He said, they don't respond at all. He said, they're not saying amen and they're not cussing me. He said, they just walk on by just like blank zombies. Like they're not even hear what I'm saying. Like it's not even affecting them. And it's because we have numbed ourselves. We have numbed ourselves as a nation. But every now and again, thank God, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Ghost will come and hang the sinner out over sin and the shame and show them the shame and the darkness of the life that they're living in. And that's the greatest thing that can ever happen to a sinner. You see, we try so hard to make them feel good about themselves. We got to a place with church. It's all they do is try to make sinners feel good about what they're doing. And my friend, we need it. Let sinners feel horrible about the shape they're in. They need to see the darkness they're in. They need to understand the shame that comes with sin. They need to be ashamed and embarrassed about the way they're living. That's what God did for me when he put me under conviction.
Amen.
It's dark in my life. Dark, dark, dark in my life. I know I've told you this story 1,000 times, but God always makes it so clear to me, Brother Martin. I remember as a young boy, my dad take me up on Mount Mitchell. Me and him would be up there by ourselves sometimes, stay a week, go deer hunting, different things. We'd be up there a lot of times, just me and him. And had old oil lamps on the wall, and we'd get it out. He'd get me in the bed, and he'd go around blowing them oil lamps out. I remember I'd always dread that last lamp. Gonna blow that last lamp out because there weren't no street lights. My friend was up there in the middle of the woods. There wasn't no moonlight came in. And when he'd blow that last oil lamp out, my friend, it was as dark as you could see your hand in front of your face. And it wasn't that I was afraid of the dark. I never had been afraid of the dark. I get out and meander around. I'm all the time telling the boys they ain't nothing in the dark. They ain't out there in the daylight. And we get out and meander around. It wasn't that I was afraid of the dark. He said, when that last light come out, God would begin to speak to my heart. And he'd say, it's dark just like that in your heart, boy. And if I come tonight and take your name, you're going to be here by yourself. And you're going to be all alone. You're going to be left behind. And suddenly the Holy Ghost of God would start convicting my heart and showing me as a young boy that I was lost and a sinner and needed to be saved. And darkness was beginning to creep in. My friend, my little blackened heart imagined and did things that my mom and daddy never would have dreamed were even in my little black heart. I mean murder and deceit. My friend, fornication. Everything that you can imagine inside my little black heart. But thank God one Sunday morning, the Holy Ghost hung me out over hell one last time. And he said, you don't have to go there. I got up out of my pew, made my way to an altar, and got saved by the glorious grace of God. And all of a sudden, the light came on in my life. And what God had started in the darkness of shame, and in the darkness, my friend, of conviction, he finished in the morning of resurrection in my life. And the day I got saved, it was like the light came on. Everything was brand new. Are you listening to the preacher this morning? It wasn't like it used to be. I was saved. S-A-V-E-D. Saved. Oh, it was all brand new. It was all brand new. What God began in the morning, or what God began in the night of conviction and shame over sin, he completes in the morning of regeneration. Let me give you some of you this right here. what God begins in the night of separation of death, He'll complete in the morning of resurrection. He'll complete in the morning of rapture. Amen. Death's a dark thing. Some of you have experienced it this year. It's a dark thing. You know, there's a lot of, we know that people, when they die, they're going to be with the Lord, but there's a lot about that we don't understand, a lot about that we can't calculate. Beyond our knowing, it's dark. You talk about some dark days when you lose a loved one, and you're up at the funeral home, and you're trying to put on a good face, and you shake your hands, but inside your heart's just reaching out. You'd like to crawl up under something, throw covers up over your head, make like it ain't even happened. You can hardly stand the force of the separation that comes with death. It's dark. That's the reason people wear black to a funeral. It's dark. Oh, dark days when somebody dies. Dark days. You lower them into a dark hole and cover them up. And it's a missing place at the table. Dark days. Dark days. Dark days. But I'm glad, thank God, for the saints of God that we planted in the ground. There's coming a day.
Amen.
And what God started in the nighttime of death and separation, Brother Marvin, is not the end. Because in case of JoJo, there's coming the day, the morning of the rapture of the church. And we're going to go to meet Jesus. But not only are we going to go to meet Jesus, but first of all, we're going to be reunited with all of those that we were separated from. In the darkness of death, we're going to be reunited with them. Hey, when we meet those and it's outstripped us and go on before, what a reunion day. Hey, I got a text yesterday afternoon, and it's from Ricky Hensley. Ricky Hensley's the son-in-law of Wendell Rudd. He sent me a text and he said, Brother Wendell went to heaven about 4:45. This afternoon. And so I sat there for a moment and I thought about what do you send back in a text when you find out somebody's died? What do you send back in a text? And this is what God brought my heart, so this is what I sent back. I sent him back, good for him. Good for him. Hallelujah, good for him. Amen. I mean, if Joe Inlis called me tomorrow and say, Rick got a big promotion, he's now running demons, I'd say, good for him. Hallelujah. That's wonderful. Good for us. That makes the tide go up. Amen. Good for everybody. Huh? Good for him. If Steve come to you and said, I want all expenses paid trip to Hawaii, I'd say, good for you.
Well, friends, we hate to stop the radio broadcast right there, but we're out of time for today. We trust that the portion of the radio broadcast has been a blessing to you. We trust that you'll tune in again tomorrow at this same time for another edition of the Gospel Way radio broadcast. Until then, this is Bradley Boone, the pastor of the Concord Baptist Church, saying may God richly bless you is our prayer.